Well, you're listening to 104.3 and 104.7 KHUM Cotton, Eureka, Arcata, and just pick any town in Humboldt County.
Rio Dell.
I like Rio Dell. They're cool. They're having a little bit of trouble right now because of the bridge, but... But that was Karen Ayers, who is a nurse practitioner here in Humboldt County. And we're here to talk about National Healthcare Decisions Day, which is actually a week.
Yes, an entire week. That the day is always April 16th, the day after tax day. So you get your taxes done, and then you should be working on this decision, National Healthcare Decisions Day. But they extend kind of the observation of the day for a week.
Oh, that's kind of nice. That gives it a chance for, you know, people to, like, for instance, tax day was on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm. That's right. So tax day seems to vary a little bit. So they cover themselves that way. Yes, yeah. Get it a week long.
Yeah, right there, whenever you're already preparing everything, that's pretty fantastic. A lot of us don't think about what will happen to us.
Yeah, we usually don't. We go about our day. Everything's fine. We go about our life, really, and don't expect or plan that we might have a serious illness or even an injury at some point that could lead us to be in a situation where we wouldn't be able to make decisions for ourselves about what we would want done to us and for us. And so then we would need to turn to the people, well, our healthcare providers would turn to the people who love us and live with us and that kind of thing for those kinds of decisions. And so wouldn't it be a gift to those people if they knew what you would or wouldn't want in a situation like that?
And it doesn't take too long to prepare.
It really doesn't. You can do it pretty quickly. You may already know the answers to these questions if you ask yourself. A lot of people do know that they would or wouldn't want this or that. So a document that you can complete to put your wishes kind of legally more, a little more legally in place is called an advance healthcare directive, and you can complete that really quickly. But you don't even really have to have that. What you really have to have is the conversation with that person who's going to make decisions for you. And that's the most important part of all of this, really, and really determining kind of these stepwise, answering these stepwise questions to yourself about how things might, you might want them to be, and being sure that you can convey that to the person who would make decisions for you.
What are some important questions to go over with those people?
Great, I'm glad that you asked that. So the first thing that you would want to, the first kind of question you ask yourself is who? Who is going to be the one to make decisions for you? Is that going to be maybe, if you're married, is it your spouse? If you're a child, is it your parent? We're all children, right? If you were doing this document or making these decisions, you would probably be over 18 years old in our country. But even people who are under 18 years old may have some thoughts about these things. But you might choose, say if you're in your 20s, you might choose your parents to be your decision maker, or a brother or sister, an aunt or uncle. Who would it be? Who are you close to? And who do you think kind of has that ability to make some tough decisions in an emotional time when you might be sick or injured?
Is it hard to change the person?
No, it's not hard. It's not hard to do this. I think the hard part would be if there were any controversy. So, for example, if you chose your mother, or how about if you chose, like, for example, for me, I've done my advance directive, and I have a son and a daughter. First of all, I chose my husband to be the first decision maker. But then I was thinking, okay, if he's unable, say he predeceases me, then who's going to make decisions? Is it going to be my son or my daughter? And that's kind of the hard part there. And my husband did his advance directive too, and he chose our son to be his second in line, and I chose my daughter to be my second in line. So it's really that person that you have that connection with that you think that could make those decisions. When you do an advance directive, you put a first person to make the decisions, and if that person's not available or is unable, then they would go to the second person. And you can even put a third person on most of the documents.
Okay, and people can get these documents also through their doctor as well?
You can get them at your doctor's office, at your healthcare provider's office. You can get them offline. Basically, just Google advance directive or Just search online.
And if you get them online, do you have to file them with your doctor, or how does that happen?
It's a really good idea to let your healthcare provider know that you've completed one of these, to make sure they have a copy with them. It's really important to make sure the person you listed as your agent to make your decisions for you has a copy also, that you know exactly where your copy is, so if you got sick, somebody could find it easily. And then it's not a bad idea to ask the hospital to put a copy on file at the hospital near where you live, too.
Okay. What if you move? Would that get transferred with your medical records?
So that's a really good question, because as in the United States, we are a state-by-state country, and so each state is a little different how they handle this legally. So your advance directive in California may not exactly translate if you move out of state, and you need to redo it when you go to the next state.
Well, that's one of the last things you're thinking about in the movie.
Exactly. I mean, it's going to hold some water, I think. But legally, they just do it a little different in each state. So, yeah, just okay. Something to look into once you get settled in your new home. But if you move, say you move to within California, your advance directive holds up when you go to the next place. And again, where you establish health care in that new place, you would want them to have a copy of that advance directive. It's also true that our decisions over time may change. At this point in our lives, we may say, I know I love my life, I'm healthy, everything's good. If something happens to me, do everything to keep me here. But if we were diagnosed with a serious illness, such as cancer perhaps, something terminal, or ALS, or one of those conditions that we know we can't cure, at some point, a lot of cancers are curable, which is the wonderful thing now, but if we had a cancer that, say, was advanced or uncurable, and the other thing that we'll talk about in just a moment is Alzheimer's, something like that, a dementia, but at that point of diagnosis of some kind of serious illness, you may change your mind, and you may say, my focus now is more on my quality of life than my quantity of life. So I want to focus on things that keep me comfortable and not things that make me miserable, like more chemotherapy or something like that. And then you can make those wishes known, and people would know then if something happened to you, if you collapsed, say, or something, that the focus at that point is to keep you comfortable and not to put you on a ventilator or do CPR, you know, do compressions on your chest and things like that.
As a nurse practitioner, have you run into situations where it's been really great and the family's been relieved that somebody has had this put into place?
I have had that happen before. I have a lot of experience working in that kind of field where people are at that point in their life, actually, and so I must say I've had it go both ways. I've had times where it's just been lovely to have people already have had that conversation. It's been an actual gift to the family members that the person who is seriously ill knows, and the family feels so comfortable knowing that they are doing just what that person would have wanted.
Yeah, and it's probably stressful to find out that they didn't do that.
Exactly. You can be in a situation then where perhaps you are named to be the person making those decisions, but you've never had a discussion and you don't know what those decisions should be. And then it's a very big weight on your shoulders to make a decision for somebody about what they might or might not want done.
So tough.
It can be very emotional, very heart-wrenching, sometimes a little bit controversial too if other people have differing ideas about what you might think you're representing that person very well, but maybe your brother thinks you're doing the wrong thing, and then there's a big squabble, and that's not good. That's the worst thing that can happen, I think, in a situation where you're seriously ill or injured, when there's contention.
Yeah, and that's not what your family needs. So it's pretty relatively easy to go ahead and fill out these documents. Mm-hmm. People just go to their doctor and they ask for advanced care planning.
Yes, you can ask. That's sort of what this general process is called. The actual document is an advanced directive.
Okay, mm-hmm. Sweet. Yep. Is there anywhere else that people can go for more information?
Yeah, online is just great these days. There's two websites I would actually recommend. The first is called the Conversation Project. Mm-hmm. So that can really get the conversation going, because that's what this is all about. the conversation. And the second one is called Prepare for Your Care, all one word, prepareforyourcare.org. And they have a great guide that can walk you through, no matter what your level of, say, comfort with computers is, that kind of thing. They do a great job on that website.
Okay, and if you also talk to your healthcare, basically if you go to your healthcare practitioner and speak with them about it, they also have the forms usually in the office.
Yes, they often do. There are different types of forms these days. There are advanced directives which talk about kind of I look at it this way. They talk about how you would want to live your life until you die. And then there is another form that's a hot pink form called a POLST form, P-O-L-S-T. It stands for Physician Orders for Life-Sustaining Treatment. And that's a little different ball of wax. That's looking at the very end of your life when you are expected to maybe not live more than 6 months or a year. Would complete this form, and it's a directive, an actual physician's order or healthcare practitioner's order. Nurse practitioners and physician assistants can also sign the order. And so paramedics and hospitals and that kind of thing have to kind of do what it says on that form by law, by order. It's a legal form.
Is there anything else you'd like to add?
Well, I would like to just kind of put it all together in a nutshell, and This is a topic that's a little difficult to talk about, and we tend to put it off. And we'll say it always seems too early. But that's true. It always seems too early until it's too late.
So basically the moral of the story is it's National Healthcare Decisions Day and slash week, and everybody should go ahead and plan for the future. I'm going to go ahead and put all of this information up over at khum.com here in just a little bit. I'm going to take a short break, and then we'll get back into the music. You're listening to KHUM.